And then my coach was on the hole behind me. So then he was like, what is everyone yelling about? And then I like yelled, I just got a hole in one.
History made for the Freeland girls golf team. Plus.
Well, when you look at us, you know, you don't see a lot of Division I talent and 6'2", 280, but what you do see is a lot of heart when you see us play.
The Lake Orion football team may not have the stars, but they're collecting the W's, and that's a Duff said. This is episode 12 of A Duff Said. I'm your host, Duff Tyler. Thank you so much for hitting the play button on Podbean. Now this week, we're taking a look at the Lake Orion High School football team. Now the Dragons currently sit at 4-0, and they are ranked 5th in the state in Division 1. They've got a huge conference showdown taking place on their home turf this Friday night when they host West Bloomfield. But I mainly wanted to look at where this program was 2 years ago. John Blackstock took over as head coach of the program, and the Dragons went just 3-6. So I'm going to talk to Coach Blackstock, as well as four senior members of the Dragons, to find out how they've had this remarkable turnaround. But before I get into that, I want to go back to Freeland. Now, I was just in Freeland last week for a Duff Said. I was there to talk to coaches and players about the annual Clash for the Cure game. Now, while all that was going on, history was being made for the Freeland girls golf team. The Falcons were taking part in the Tri-Valley Jamboree at the Fortress Golf Course in Frankenmuth. And on the fourth hole, sophomore Sophie Argyle dropped in an 85-yard drive for the school's first ever hole-in-one. I caught up with Sophie earlier this week to talk about it. So Sophie, let's start off by talking about the meet itself. What was your mindset going in?
I was pretty confident. We had played in the Patriot Cup before that at Frankenmuth, so I knew the course well, and the front is the easier side. So I just knew that I had to hit my shot straight, and the day would be good.
So take me through when you lined up your shot on the fourth hole. What was going through your mind at that moment?
I was thinking, like, make sure I hit this very slow. Just have to loft it up over the treble. Don't hit it in the sand. I had clubbed up, so I knew that I would get the distance. It was just making sure that I was on the green, not in the sand behind it. Just taking everything nice and slow.
When the ball went in the air, what did you see?
I saw it just kind of launch up in the air a little bit, and then it dropped on the green. And I was watching it for a little bit, and then I thought it had stopped close to the hole. So I just thought, oh, like, it's a birdie. And then Ashley Roper was like, no, like, watch the ball. And then it just kept rolling, and it rolled in the hole.
What was your reaction when you saw it go in?
I started jumping up and down. I was so happy. I, like, was cheering really loud. And then I watched my dad, like, come out onto the green. And then he noticed me. So then him and the Frankenmuth assistant coach were, like, jumping up and down, cheering. And then my coach was on the hole behind me. So then he was like, what is everyone yelling about? And then I like yelled, I just got a hole in one. And then he came over and gave me a hug.
Not only did you get that first ever hole in one, you played 9 holes that day and you shot a personal best 55. So this was a pretty amazing day for you.
The atmosphere was just so incredible. There was many like gentlemen that were playing after us, like going out on the course after us, part of leagues. And they were all, like, congratulating me. Every coach that was there from all the other teams, they all came up and gave me hugs and was congratulating me. It was very cool.
That is super cool. I mean, you got something that has never been accomplished in the history of the Freeland Girls Golf Program. What does that mean to you?
It was really very cool. Like, when I went back to school the next day, everyone was congratulating me. And we had football games. Everyone was congratulating me. It was very cool.
So how does this day set the tone for the rest of the season?
It sets the bar pretty high because I just want to keep achieving good things so I can try to live up to that expectation and maybe try to get another one.
Wow, you're already thinking about your next one. I like it. When you look ahead to the rest of the year, is there another course or another hole that's got you thinking, that's where I'm going to get my second?
Maybe when we play our course at Twin Oaks, we have a par 3. That's like that I can get it pretty close. So as long as I place the ball right, I can probably get it to roll in again.
Now, for those of you who don't know Sophie, she is the youngest of four sisters to play sports at Freeland High School. All four Argyle sisters have had success playing for the Falcons. So when you look at that accomplishment, how does it feel that you've finally gotten something as the youngest sister that you can hang over their heads and say, I got something that you don't?
It feels really nice because, like, I have an oldest sister, Tori, who plays golf at Northwood, and she has never gotten a hole-in-one before, and she's, like, the main golfer of the family, so it just feels nice that I could get on a hole-in-one. My dad had told her first because we had started on one that day, so I still had 5 holes left, so I wasn't allowed to, like, talk to anyone else until the end of the round, but she was very, very nice about it. She told our entire golf team, all of her golf team was congratulating me. It was very nice. And, like, neither of my other two sisters have gotten any, like, record like that. So it feels nice that I can have, like, my name up there with a record.
That was Sophie Argyle of the Freeland Girls Golf Team. Now, if you look at the makeup of the four Argyle sisters, like Sophie said, Tori's the oldest, and she's currently playing golf at Northwood. And then you have Kaylee and Alyssa. Both of them were really good golfers in high school. And now they're playing basketball at Trine University. The only other member of the Argyle family to get a hole-in-one was Sophie's dad, Dennis. So being the youngest, Sophie's got some bragging rights, and they can't take them away from her. That's pretty incredible. Coming up, what has kept John Blackstock in Lake Orion for the last 22 years? Well, I'm going to get an answer to that question and so many more on A Duff Said. Want to get my takes on sports here in the state of Michigan? Well, that's easy. All you got to do is go to my Facebook page, sports journalist Duff Tyler. You can also find me on Twitter. I have the handle at DuffTyler. And you can also listen to previous episodes of A Duff Said. Just go to my website, DuffTyler.podbean.com. I'm joined now by the head coach of the Lake Orion Dragons. The Dragons are 4-0 this season. This Friday night, they take on West Bloomfield. That game will be on their home turf. Here to talk about that and a whole lot more is their head coach, John Blackstock. Coach, it's a pleasure to meet you, sir. Thank you for having me here on your home turf.
Thanks for coming. I appreciate you covering us.
It is my pleasure. You've got a lot to talk about. You've been here for the last 22 years. But when you got a chance to take over this program, what about the job made it so appealing?
Well, you know, honestly, it was really bittersweet when I took over. Chris Bell was our head coach at the time for 19 years, and Chris hired me on his first staff back in 1998. So over those 19 years, I mean, we've become very close, really good friends, you know, almost like brothers. You know, he's an older brother type to me. So when he became the athletic director and wasn't able to be the head coach anymore, and I stepped in, you know, it was something I was very excited about and something I looked forward to. But also, you know, like I said, it was a little bittersweet of not having one of my great friends still coaching. But I'm excited about where we're at right now.
You were telling me a moment ago, you're from a place that I know all too well. You're from the Thumb. You are from Bad Axe. Yeah. But ever since you've been coaching, all you've known is Lake Orion. What is it about this area that's kept you coming back all these years?
Yeah, you know, we joke about that a little bit. I used to joke with Chris that, man, Lake Orion just, it seems like maybe it's a government experiment in terms of everybody comes back to Lake Orion or they don't leave because it is such a great place. You know, Chris teases me after being here for 22 years that I'm a part of the experiment. But it's just a super supportive community. And I don't think there's a lot of places that are still like this, where it's big enough to have a lot of opportunity for people, but it just has that small town feel, and people really rally around each other and support each other and take care of people here.
I've been here 2 years now here in Lake Orion. I'm probably part of that experiment too. It just worked out great for my situation, but this is my first time being at your stadium. You've got a great new field here that you guys got last year, and I'm just looking around us. The atmosphere is amazing. You know, what can you say about your own home turf?
The setting is awesome. You know, you got Bald Mountain Park in the background there. The facilities are top-notch, as good as any facility in the state. And again, that's because of the support that we have from our community to help build things like this for our kids.
You guys have created quite a buzz for yourself around the community. I'm going to places like Meijer and CVS. I'm seeing Dragon merchandise for sale. And you've given your home fans a lot to be excited about. What's the support from the community been like now that you guys are 4-0 and ranked 5th in the state?
Yeah, you know, like I said, we've always had great, great support. Even during some of those down years where we've struggled a little bit, they still really supported us. But, you know, you're right. You do feel a bit of a more of a buzz that's picked up around. There's a little more talk about Lake Orion football, and there's a little bit more pride, you know, within the community and within the school, I think, also.
One of the things everybody always talked about when I got here was Clarkston. You know, sure. They were a powerhouse. They were making the state finals. They were collecting championship rings, which they love to put on everything just to let them know that they won them. But now things have kind of shifted a little bit. I don't want to say that you've necessarily taken over, but it's great to see that people are talking about you guys now.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things we hope to do is get back to that level where for a while there, you know, there was a really good run of Orion and Clarkston back and forth. You know, they'd beat us one year, we'd beat them the next. We might beat them twice in a year because of the playoffs. They might beat us twice the next year in the playoffs. And it was just really a seesaw battle and a great rivalry. And, you know, quite honestly, they've owned it for the last 10 years. And that's something that we're trying to change and trying to get ourselves back to that level.
When you guys lost to them in the playoffs that year, that was your second loss to them in a couple of weeks. And like you said, there's been years where they got you twice in one year, but they used that to get themselves all the way to the state finals. Was there a part of you and maybe the team as well that was thinking, as you're walking off the field after that loss, you know, that could be us next year. You know, we could be just like those guys if we just keep putting in the work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, walking off that field was not a fun feeling, especially the way that we got beat. I mean, they physically beat us. And I think all of our kids walked off the field with that in the mind and held that throughout the offseason of we don't want this type of thing to happen and we don't want this feeling again.
We're talking with John Blackstock, the head football coach of the Lake Orion Dragons. You were 3-6 in your first season as head coach 2 years ago, and now you look at where you guys are at. You are the 5th ranked team in the state in Division I. Now, I'm sure you don't want to get too excited about that. We're only in week 5 of the season. But what's it been like to come to practice and hang out with the kids knowing that you've achieved that?
Well, yeah, you know, like you said, we're not going to hang our hat on that right now. I think we've kind of taken the rearview mirror and broken it and thrown it out the window and really just kind of focused on what's ahead of us for each day and for the week. And more concerned about how we finished the season than we started. You know, we're excited about how we started, but we'll relish in that later.
Coming up, I'm going to be talking to 4 of your senior leaders. What's it been like for you to watch these guys grow up and mature along with the program?
Well, yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, the kids in this program are special kids. You know, they operate at a different level. You know, they're high character kids. They do well in the classroom. You know, they make good choices in our community, and the 4 that you're going to talk to really are just an extension of the team and great examples of the kids that we have at Lake Orion. It's been fun watching those 4 guys because they were a part of that 3-6. All 4 of them were on the team as sophomores and have gone through the battles and are a big reason for the start that we've had.
Your motto is attack success. How did you come up with that?
You know, really, I kind of stole that from Sean McVay, you know, the NFL coach with the Rams, and I saw one of his quotes of, we're going to attack success and not fear failure. So we just shortened it down to attack success, and I felt that it really fit our kids, our program, and not just on the football field. You know, attack success is about the classroom. It's about making good choices off the field in the community and in their personal lives, and of course, yeah, in the training room, the weight room, and on the field.
How long did it take for the guys to buy into that?
You know, I think they bought into it really pretty quickly. I think they understood that we've got to attack. You know, we don't have the most talented guys. You know, we don't have a lot of Division I offer type of kids. So they need to play with an attacking mentality in all that they do.
And it seems to be working out really well for you guys. Just looking at your schedule, it is loaded from top to bottom with playoff teams from a year ago. But despite that, when you looked at that schedule, did you get a sense that a 4-0 start could come from that?
You know, as a coach, you look at the schedule and you hope something like that can happen. Realistically, I think we would have been really excited about coming out 3-1, or even 2-2 with our league and our schedule is something that, you know, we knew we had to do. But to be 4-0, yeah, that's made the weekends a whole lot easier. You know, the Saturday and Sunday morning getting up has been a whole lot easier with that start.
What's it like to get up every Saturday morning and looking at the win column with your name in there?
You know, it's nice. It's hard, though, because as a coach, you know, it probably sounds a little bit cliche, but that smile doesn't last long, you know, especially with the league that we play in and the competition we play against in our non-league, that, you know, you go have dinner and hang out with your family a little bit on Friday after the game, and quickly your mind starts wandering to, all right, the next opponent and how'd they do, and trying to get on the iPad or the cell phone even while you're there at dinner and trying to watch a little bit of film and get ahead. So like I said, we'll enjoy that kind of stuff at the end of the season.
Now, I cover a lot of teams in the mid-Michigan area. During the year, I'm at a lot of different games. I'm in the Thumb. I could be all the way up in Midland. I have seen my fair share of Lapeer games over the years, but I haven't seen anybody do what you guys did at the beginning of the season, and that's hold them to one touchdown over four quarters. Watching that game unfold on the sidelines like you did, what did you see out of that game and that performance by your guys that told you, you know what, we're going to have a great season this year?
You know, that's an easy one. It's how they handled adversity. You know, it was not an easy game. 17-7 is a tight game. They're a tough group up there. They're really well coached. And we made some mistakes at points that really could have hurt us, and they could have turned the table on us. But, you know, our defense came out and took care of business, or our offense got things done and got us down the field. And then even with the lightning delay, how our kids handled that's a challenge in itself, of starting a game and then sending them home and having to get them up early in the morning and get back out there on the field and get the juices flowing and being competitive. And when they handled it as well as they did, I thought, you know what, we've got a chance to do something special here.
Would it surprise you to learn that I've been to a lot of lightning games and there have been lightning delays? I've seen that happen before.
That's interesting, yeah.
It has happened a few times, but like you said, you guys, you got right back up the next morning and you just went right about your business and took care of it. And one of the things you just touched on a moment ago was that you guys don't maybe necessarily have the Division I talent, but when you're a Division I team like you guys are, you're going to see a lot of teams with guys that are going on to play Division I football when they're done with high school. And you got a taste of that in week two when you were here at your home field. You took on Southfield A&T, and you guys faced a receiver and quarterback combo that are both going on to Division I programs. But they were pretty much a non-factor in that game. In fact, your defense over the last four games has only given up one touchdown or fewer in three of those games. How has your defense been able to put the clamps on so many teams on your schedule so far?
Well, number one, I think Rick Powell, our defensive coordinator, is doing a great job of game planning and scheming things up versus people. And then he gets the kids to play. You know, our kids are really playing for each other, and they're understanding team defense and how they all fit in to the whole defense and where they need to be and how they need to contain the ball and keep it in front of us and inside of us. And that's really the key to it, is them playing together as a unit and for each other.
On the other side of the ball, you guys have scored 30 points or more in each of the last three games. What's it been like to see your quarterback, Blaze Lauer, and the guys on offense executing the way they have?
You know, kind of like a fan, it's been fun to watch. You know, they've been explosive and created some big plays, but they've also driven the ball when we've needed to drive the ball and eat some clock. I think what's been really fun is to watch multiple guys score. You know, last week against Oxford, you know, with five touchdowns, we had five different guys score. And our offensive coordinator, Brad Fisher, is doing a really nice job of spreading the ball around to those guys and trying to keep people off pace.
Looking ahead to Friday night, you got another big conference matchup. Now, your conference, the OAA Red, has been called one of the toughest in the state, and for good reason. I mean, you've got a lot of teams that are on the schedule that have made the playoffs a year ago. Maybe some of those teams haven't gotten off to the start that they would have liked to this season. They would certainly love to be in your shoes right now. but there's still a lot of season left. And you guys have got this showdown on Friday night against West Bloomfield. They're coming off a huge win last week. They shut out Clarkston 24-0. And their defense is led by senior linebacker Cornell Wheeler. He is committed to playing at Michigan. How do you get around a guy like him?
You know, that's going to be a challenge. They've got multiple guys. Cornell is a great player. You know, I know he started for him as a freshman at one point during his freshman season and has just gotten better and better each season and each game. He's going to be a challenge for us. And how we try to deal with that is, you know, just playing a really sound offense, you know, and making sure guys know where he is and making sure that maybe they give a little extra effort to get to him. But, you know, the challenging thing is West Bloomfield, they've got Cornell, but they've also got a lot of other guys. You know, Marquis Page in the secondary, also a Michigan commit. You've got to know where he's at. They got a couple of really good corners. Their defensive line, all four of those guys are just solid, legit players that are all going to play at big-time schools on Saturdays themselves. So, you know, you've got to know where Wheeler is, but you've also got to make sure you're taking care of everybody else on that defense too.
Were you surprised by the way that they were able to shut down Clarkston the way they did last week?
You know, that's a tough question. Yes and no. I think the more you're around the OAA Red, you learn that you're not surprised by much anymore. You know, people say, were you surprised by this team beating that team? And not really, because the competition in this league is so great. You know, Clarkston being shut out, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by that. But also knowing that we've been on the end of some of those where, in high school football, you know, the other team just kind of gets on a roll, and it's hard for the other team to turn the ship, you know, when the ball really starts rolling in the other direction. So definitely two great programs. A little bit shocked by the score of 24-0, but not surprised by things that happened in the OAA Red.
This is going to be a challenge for you, but it's also an opportunity for you as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny you say that, because that's exactly what we've said all week, that it'll be our greatest challenge so far to this point, but it also is the biggest opportunity for us as well. You know, a win can open a whole lot of doors for us.
You said in the preseason that one of the biggest concerns that you had was this team learning to practice at a championship level. This game Friday night could go a long way to determining if this is a championship team. What do you hope to see out of your guys against the Lakers on Friday night?
You know, I hope to see what we hope to see every week and what we hope to see every day in practice. Guys that come out and play hard every snap. You know, relentless effort is one of our core values, along with, you know, mental toughness. You know, how well we deal with adversity, because there's no doubt that West Bloomfield's going to make some big plays. And how we react to those big plays is going to determine, you know, the outcome of that game.
He is the head coach of the Lake Orion Dragons. John Blackstock is in his third year with the Dragons. They are ranked fifth in Division I. They're 4-0, and Friday night they've got a huge conference showdown with West Bloomfield. Best of luck to you on Friday night. Thanks for making the time this week.
Well, I appreciate you coming out.
Up next, the Lake Orion Dragons are breathing fire, and they are burning their opponents on both sides of the ball. We're going to talk to four senior members of the Dragons, and that's a Duff Said. If this was your first time listening to a Duff Said, thank you so much for hitting the play button. Now, how about you go to my website, dufftyler.podbean.com, and check out some of our previous episodes.
I was going into the game thinking, why should we lose? You know, other than the reason that they're beat here, why should we lose? So, to everyone else, you know, yeah, you're underdogs, but to me, and I think to most of the guys on the team, we're probably thinking, we should probably win the game.
This game of basketball, it's just a game. It is really just a game. What we have here is more important.
So to me, relationships are far more important in the world that we live in today, instead of that trophy that's going to be in a trophy case, that's going to collect dust, and it's going to be 50 years old, and you know what? It doesn't matter anymore.
They're all available to you right now at dufftyler.podbean.com. And that's a Duff Said. Joining me now are four seniors from the Lake Orion Dragons. I'm just going to go around and let each guy introduce himself.
Isaac Kinney.
Blaze Lauer.
Kobe Manzo.
Drew Van Heck.
Fellas, what has it been like for the last 4 weeks to wake up on a Saturday, or in the case of the season opener on a Sunday, waking up knowing that you guys got a victory?
Usually when I wake up after a victory, I kind of forget about the game and I'm too worried about the next game of what work that we needed to put in as a team to be successful.
Yeah, I agree with Isaac. When I wake up after the game, you know, it's nice to, you know, see on Twitter the rankings or whatever and the score. But, you know, like by the end of the day, I'm already thinking about next week and what we have to do to get better.
Just building off what those two guys said, I think the expectation for our team as a whole has changed a lot from last year. We come out and there was no question that our team wanted to win last year, but this year I think we fully expect to win. And so when we wake up on that Saturday or that Sunday and we are, you know, the winners, I think that really can move our mindset on to the next week.
For sure. Yeah, they hit it on the dot. Coach has a big thing saying enjoy it for 24 hours and then after that move on. So after that 24 hours, we focus on the next week and get done what we got to get done.
You ranked 5th in the state in Division I. What's it been like here at school to be able to celebrate that in the hallways with your classmates?
You know, we don't really put like a big emphasis on it. It's pretty normal. So we don't listen to the media, the rankings or anything. We just do what we have to do. We believe in ourselves and the guys on this team, and that's all we got to do.
I really think that's how Lake Orion football used to be, and I think that's what we're turning it back to be. And I think the expectation for us is obviously pretty high, but I think the expectation for the four of us has been high for as long as we've been in high school, and we've seen that expectation before the team has had this record and this ranking. And so just finally being able to get there is definitely great, but like you said, that should be the expectation.
Yeah, we've focused a lot on just like moving past everything, and we don't really focus on the rankings, and we kind of mute out all the distractions and think about what we got to do as a team.
It's something that's cool to say to your friends once in a while, but it's not really a bragging right, and rankings don't matter until you're at Ford Field holding up a trophy.
That is a perfect segue into my next question. I know it's only week 5, so you guys don't want to tear down the goalposts just yet, but just 2 years ago, you guys were 3-6, and you were a team on the rebuild, but here you are now. What has been the biggest difference between where you were 2 years ago and where you are now?
I think we talk about it all the time. The different teams have brought different aspects to this program. And that 3-6 team that the four of us were a part of, they were a very physical team. They went out there and they physically dominated their opponents. But what they lacked was a mental toughness. And I think the year after that, we got a lot more discipline. We figured out our assignments. And I think this year is just a culmination of putting all those great aspects of team football together. And you're seeing the results of it.
We kind of took everything you need and put it together, and we're just making it work week by week.
You know, the four of us being a part of those two rebuilding teams, you know, and having Coach Blackstock in his first couple of years as head coach, we just kind of learned from the older guys, and now we're, you know, bringing it to the rest of the team, you know, teaching them how it goes.
I think just the team relationship that we have this year and how it's built off through the years, because when I first came here my sophomore year, I didn't really know anybody. I knew that we had a lot of talent, and I knew that we would play hard. But through these years, and now that it's my senior year, we all know each other, we all trust each other, and we play for each other, and that's why we're successful.
You guys are 4-0, and you guys have looked pretty impressive doing it. You guys have a lot of talent, and the results have certainly shown that. But how much of that is also based on the relationships and the brotherhood that you guys have built here?
Well, we've seen with teams in the past, it doesn't matter how much talent, especially at a high school level that you have, because if you can't play and coordinate as a team, it doesn't matter. You come out on Friday night and the team that plays together, the team that practices together and believes in one another and plays for the man next to them is always going to come out victorious.
Yeah, I think this year we've had a lot of guys doing extra stuff in the offseason, you know, speed training, workouts, 7-on-7. So I think that's just brought us all together even more, so we're not just playing football during football season.
Just a quote that I've always told myself is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard, and I think we're a team that proves that.
I like that. Where'd you come up with that?
I did not come up with that. My wrestling coach, he told me that when I was a young kid.
When Coach Blackstock took over this program 3 years ago, what was the one thing that he instilled in this program that has stuck with you guys when you were sophomores and you've kind of held on to now that you're seniors?
One big thing that he talks about a lot is great teams are led by the players. So we're all trying to lead the team. You know, like bad teams have no leaders. Good teams are led by the coaches. Great teams are led by the players. So that's what we try to go by.
Yeah, another great thing that Blackstock brought in that our old coach Bell always had a great emphasis on was the little details. Everything you do when you come out on this field, whether it be standing behind the line or picking up your trash or listening to every detail and really knowing not your assignment but the assignments of the people around you to really help understand the game as a whole, every little detail counts, and Coach Blackstock really puts an emphasis on that.
Yeah, he's big on the little details about bringing the team together and make sure we're all working together and doing our own job. Don't focus on trying to make that big play. Focus on what you got to do, and everything will work its way out if you trust each other.
Last season, you guys hosted Lapeer right here on this field that we're standing on right now, and you lose to the Lightning 17-7. This year, you open the season by beating them by that same score at their place. What was the mood like that day, and what was it like getting that first win out of the way?
Well, I think that one really stung with us, and we realized that was a good Lapeer team last year, but that was a loss that stuck with us throughout the season. And I know that you never look forward to, games down the road, but throughout the summer and throughout our off-season workouts, we knew that Friday night came and we had to show up.
For sure, yeah. We actually had that rain delay halfway through that game, and we left that field Friday night knowing we were ready to come out Saturday morning. And we came out Saturday morning with the same fire we left Friday night with, and it carried on.
Yeah. After last season, after our playoff loss, I think all the way leading up to the first game this year, we just had that in the back of our mind that we got to rematch against them, and we're going to show them our new team and what we do.
We were just ready to hit, and we swung hard, and we landed a pretty good one on them.
I've been to a lot of Lapeer games over the years, but I've never seen anybody put the clamps on them the way you guys did, held them to one touchdown. But you've been doing that a lot over these last few weeks. And Isaac, I want to talk to you a little bit about the defense, because the Dragons, you've held two teams to just one touchdown, and then last week you got a shutout, 35-0 over Oxford. What would you just say to describe the makeup is of this defense?
I'd say the intelligence of our defensive coordinator, Rick Powell. He has done a great job with changing our defense from a 4-3 to 4-2-5, because the previous years we've been hurt in the pass game, and with the 4-2-5 that spreads the secondary and helps each other.
And why is it that teams are having such a hard time scoring on you guys?
I just don't think they're used to the 4-2-5.
I want to get Kobe's take on that. What is it about the defense that makes you guys so strong?
I think it's just relying on one another. We always talk about, like we've said, doing your job and not worrying about making that bigger play. So when you have 11 guys that are all playing assignment football and doing their job, it comes down to everyone's making a play. Everyone's making their play on every play because they're doing their assignment that allows others to make the play.
You're also a running back, but when you're not running the ball, you're also in the secondary. Is this one of the best defenses that you have seen here in Lake Orion in your time here?
Well, when you look at us, you don't see a lot of Division I talent and 6'2", 280, but what you do see is a lot of heart when you see us play. And, you come see us practice or you come on a Friday night, you see the heart that our defense plays with and the toughness that we play with. And no matter the opponent that we play against, we always stick to our game. And I think that's really important, not to change your game as according to your opponents, because you can control what you can control, and that's your team. You can't control what the other people are going to show up with.
Speaking of Division I talent, in your win over Southfield A&T, you were going up against a wide receiver and quarterback combo that are going to go on to play at two really big Division I college football programs. They were a non-factor in that game. What was it like to come off the field that night knowing that you guys shut them down?
It was a great feeling. Not only that they had those two great players, but they were a solid team all around. And I think maybe some of their other players don't get that much credit just because they're in the shadow of those two, but like I said earlier, when you're playing as a team and for your team and you're all playing assignment football, there isn't one player. You can stand out by your play, but you should just stand out by making the play every single play, by making your assignments.
And Blaze, in that game, your guys' offense erupted for 37 points. In fact, you've scored 30 in the last three games, 30 or more. What is it like for you guys to be so explosive on offense and light up that scoreboard over there like you have?
I know our offense, I don't think, has like one specific spot that's really good or better than the others. We're all equally as good, so if you can't stop us one way, there's always another way we have to beat you, and I think that's what makes us a good team.
Drew, what is it like to be on this unit that has been so explosive the last few weeks?
Oh, it's awesome. And even if I'm not a big factor for a game, I know watching my teammates ball out every week is something I love to watch. Whether it's me making the plays or not, I enjoy being out there with them.
I like to say that we're each other's biggest fans. When somebody else makes a play, we do not have the selfish mindset of, that should have been mine or that should have been, me making that play. We're the first ones out there to congratulate them and celebrate with them our whole offense.
After you got that win over Lapeer, you guys were back home for that win over Southfield A&T. What was it like to get that win at home here in front of your crowd?
Obviously, it was a great atmosphere, and I know that starting 0-2 last season, we definitely found the other side of that coin to be much more enjoyable. And coming out here, you know, you don't rely on the crowd to really get you going, but man, it's nice when you have that amount of people here cheering you on.
Yeah, playing here is great. You know, we have the great community, the cheerleaders, dance team, you know, robotics team has the t-shirt cannon. The band sits in the end zone when we score. So it's just a great all-around atmosphere, and I love it.
In Lapeer game, we focused on bringing our own energy because the second day we didn't have the crowd we did in the first day. And when we have the crowd, all it does is bring more energy. We come out with our own energy, and while we play and have success on the field, it just continues to push us harder.
It's always great to come here and represent our community as a whole and just put on a show for them for all the hard work that they put in for this football program so that we can give back by giving them a good run on Southfield.
As I mentioned before we started actually talking here on the podcast, I actually live in this area. This is my first time getting a chance to see you guys. And when I moved to the area, all the talk was always about Clarkston. You know, everybody was talking about how they were making runs at a state championship. They were collecting the rings. But last season, you guys got a chance to face them twice in the span of 2 weeks. And as you were walking off the field after that playoff loss to them, who here among you was thinking, you know what, next year, that could be us. We could be just like those guys.
All of us. I think every single one of us. And we sat down together as a team and watched the playoff review. And, you know, when we saw Clarkston, there was not one person in the room that was like, oh, no, Clarkston. Every single one of us was so looking forward to that game. And like Lapeer, that loss stung with us. And I think this year we're ready to get back after it.
Like we mentioned earlier, we move past losses, we move past wins. We don't focus on what's in the past. And after that big loss, obviously it hurt, but we knew we had work to do, and that's exactly what we did over the offseason. And no, all work over the offseason is all work for the new season, the upcoming season. It's all going to help, and we're looking forward to it.
Just like Kobe said last year when we were in the Kiva with our team watching the playoff show, you know, when it popped up on the screen that we were playing Clarkston, there wasn't any sad looks on anybody's face. You know, it was a cheer, like, hey, we get to rematch, and it obviously didn't turn out the way we wanted. But, you know, with this team coming back this year, we knew we have a pretty good chance to beat anybody on our schedule, not just them.
It's always fun to play Clarkston. As much as everyone on the team says it's a big rivalry, I always enjoy playing someone that has just the same competitive edge as me. And I know that we're coming out here every single day, putting our best foot forward, and I know that we're just going to be successful.
Let's talk about who you guys got coming up this Friday night. West Bloomfield is coming to your place. You know that's going to be a tough challenge. Speaking of Clarkston, they just shut out Clarkston last week, 24-0. Now, this is going to be a huge test for you guys. I'm not going to say that this is the game that could decide the OAA Red necessarily, but whoever wins this game Friday night, they're going to get a huge foothold on the conference. How do you contend with the Lakers?
So, you know, all the websites and stuff, they'll have us as the underdog, you know, because West Bloomfield's West Bloomfield, but we don't need to listen to that. We just believe all the guys on the team believe in each other, and that's all we need to believe in is us.
It's going to be a great game, but I know that we can win it.
As a team, we always talk about the term underdog and who believes in us and who believes in whoever we're playing against, but what it comes down to is who believes is on this field with us and on this field when we're practicing and in between these white lines, and that's who really believes and that's who matters. So when you have 50, 60 guys on a team that believe you can win, there's nothing that says you can't.
We're going to come with the same mindset we did for the Southfield week. They have all the stars next to their names. They have all the scholarships, all the offers, everything. We focus on ourselves and we just get the job done.
There's a number of teams in the conference right now that probably haven't gotten off to the start they would have liked to this year, but your conference, the OAA Red, is still considered to be one of the toughest in the state. What would it mean to each of you guys if you could go out next month and win it?
Well, obviously being on the exact opposite side of that spectrum and, you know, actually coming pretty close last year with some big wins over good Southfield and Rochester Adams teams, we were in the hunt for that trophy, but unfortunately did not get it. But just being that close and tasting a little bit of what it might be like, I think that has our guys more motivated than ever.
You know, in the past we've been at the bottom end of the conference, you know, so this year coming out at the top, showing people who we really are and how we're different, it's going to be really good.
We're working 1 week at a time, and we're going to take it 1 week at a time. And if that day comes, then that day comes, and we will celebrate like no other.
quarterback Blaze Lauer, running back Kobe Manzo, wide receiver Drew Van Heck, and Isaac Kinney, my guest this week on A Duff Said. Fellas, thank you so much for making the time. It was a pleasure meeting you guys. Good luck on Friday.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
And with that, that's a wrap on episode 12 of A Duff Said. Be looking for episode 13 dropping next week. You can catch that episode and many others by going to my website, dufftyler.podbean.com. I'll see you next time, and remember, if Duff said it, it must be true. Because that's what a Duff said.